Today's episode of the Newfound Records Radio Hour is a repeat broadcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Wayne Tucker, and this is the Newfound Records Radio Hour. Last week, Newfound Records presented part one of the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio. We heard co-founder and co-owner Claude Keynes tell why a recording studio was set up in Stephenville, far distant from the densely populated Avalon Peninsula. Claude also filled us in on the equipment the studio used, its process of making records, and the production talents of his colleague Neil Bishop. Today, we present the second and final episode of the Claude Sound story. We'll find out how the studio attempted to make money, how its equipment improved through its 7-year lifespan, and then we'll hear about the operational challenges which eventually led to its closing in 1984. Along the way, we'll hear once again from Claude Keynes, and we'll also hear from his business partner and fellow musician, Neil Bishop. But first, let's listen to an old regular on Newfound Records, Adrian Beaumont, from the album he recorded on Claude Sound's Key label in 1982. Oh, that's just beautiful. Produced by Neil Bishop and Claude Keynes, Adrian Beaumont with his own composition, Rain, taken from the album Take It or Leave It, released in 1982. And it was recorded at Claude Sound, like everything else you're going to hear on today's show. Take It or Leave It is an obscure album that's really hard to find, but it's become one of my favorites, and that's why I play it so often on the Newfound Records Radio Hour. Adrian Beaumont was born in the UK, immigrated to Canada in 1966, and was living in Cornerbrook near Stephenville when he recorded the album. And if it wasn't for Claude Sound, Beaumont, like so many other local musicians, may never have left a record of his music for the enjoyment of posterity. Now, before we continue with our history lesson, Newfound Records is going to spin a few of the biggest hits to come out of Claude Sound. First, a novelty tune by Botwood's Rex Hemian, Bingo in Another World. It was recorded on the Key label, but released and distributed by RCA. The song marked Hemian's only appearance on the coveted national RPM charts. In fact, it charted for 16 weeks and peaked at number 13, and that ain't too shabby. Engineered and produced by Neil Bishop in 1979, from the album of the same name, Rex Hemian belts out his own composition, Bingo and Another World, on 93.5 FM.
Hello? Yes, you know I watched the story. Did you see Rachel? She should kick her out. Bingo, you know I'm going. $500 jackpot tonight.
Bingo in another world, that's all I ever hear. It's getting so I can't sit home and enjoy a bottle of beer. Between Rachel and the jackpot, I'm slowly going mad. I've seen people before possessed, but girl, you got it bad. It all got started Saturday nights and things got out of hand. You couldn't watch the Maple Leafs, you weren't a hockey fan. Now I'm not saying that you're wrong or altogether right, but when you put your makeup on, there's a bingo game tonight. I didn't mind one night a week or sometimes even two, but now it's every chance you get and your mother goes with you. Next you'll have your sisters or anyone else who go. It must be awful thrilling to hear someone say bingo. I'd like to see the jackpot, you're always gonna win. I guess it didn't go tonight, you donated once again. Just think what money we'd have in the bank, or the interest it would grow, if you'd only stay home a couple of nights and forget that damn bingo. Watch another world while supper's in the pan. You can bet your bottom dollar that it's something from a can. Dessert's the same again tonight, custard and runny jello. You have to hurry supper so you won't miss your bingo. You say it's just part of your day to sit and watch TV. I'll bet that Rachel don't start Mac the way that you start me. You're always down on Iris, you say she's drooling me. I wish that I could be like her and I'd break that TV screen. Bingo in another world, that's all I ever hear. It's getting so I can't sit home and enjoy a bottle of beer. Between Rachel and the jackpot, I'm slowly going mad. I've seen people before possessed, but girl, you got it bad.
From one of two albums that Rex Hemmian recorded at Claude Sound, the title track from his album Bingo and Another World. And now a track from the province's biggest selling album in the early 1980s. The album was Bartender's Sweetheart by Dave Pike and Aubrey Sweetapple, better known as Dave and Aubrey. They were from Glovertown and entertained throughout the province for several years. Bartender's Sweetheart was recorded in 1980 at Claude Sound, but like Rex Hemmian's LP, was released and distributed by RCA. Bartender's Sweetheart was a huge seller by local standards, selling about 25,000 copies. Now here's the title song on the Newfound Records Radio Hour.
Our marriage was happy, I was never alone. Except for the nights when my wife wasn't home. She was religious, so humble and meek. She attended her church about twice a week. One night when she left, I thought it would be fine. Take a ride around for the sort of pass the time. The time passed so quickly, very soon I found I was driving down a back street on the outskirts of town. As I passed a corner, a tavern came in view. So neatly painted with light shades of blue. My wife was in church, and I knew I had time to have at least one glass of wine. The sign on the bar said we close sharp at 10. So I ordered my drink just as soon as I got in. I paid for my glass and I turned for a seat. When a girl I then saw with a face oh so sweet, my heart heart stopped beating as I saw her there. My legs started trembling as I walked to her chair. I laid down my glass, then a chair to pull out, when the bartender's hand drew blood from my mouth. He said, "You're a stranger, and I want you to know you're welcome to whiskey as long as you got dough. But with my darling, no man can dine. Her smile is for everyone, but her love is all mine. I'm sorry, bartender, I don't think you should mind. 'Cause with your darling, I'm entitled to dine. But you can go on loving her the rest of your life. 'Cause after tonight, she's no longer my wife."
Dave and Aubrey with Bartender's Sweetheart. Newfound Records will be right back with co-founder and co-owner of Claude Sound, Claude Keynes.
I'm David Suzuki. You're either on the bus or off the bus. If you're on the bus, 40 vehicles are off the road. One busload of commuters keeps 70,000 liters of gasoline from being burned. That keeps 9 tons of pollution out of the air. And it puts $5,000 into the pocket of every person on the bus. Get on the bus and breathe easier. The future is in your hands.
Don't drive the planet to destruction. Get around smarter at davidsuzuki.org.
Broadcasting from the campus of Memorial University in St. John's, this is MUN Radio 93.5 CHMR-FM.
Today's episode of the Newfound Records Radio Hour is a repeat broadcast. I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to a Newfound Records Radio Hour special presentation, part two of the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio. Claude Keynes co-found and co-owned Claude Sound. He next speaks about the business aspect of running a studio, and how the studio attempted to make the money needed to pay its employees and session musicians and to keep the studio operating.
It wasn't exactly all that lucrative of a business. I mean, trying to pay a salary to both Neil and I and pay rent, it never did really do anything to turn over a whole lot of cash. And so what you got in the way of new equipment came after you were able to pay cashier 4 or 5 payroll checks that you had sitting on your dresser for probably a month or two that you couldn't afford to cash.
So where did your money come from? You charged a rate for studio rental.
That's it. That's it.
Did you get a percentage of album sales?
No, we did not. Only if we took it on as our own production and produced the album, in which case we wouldn't charge the artist anything for recording time or for the pressing of the album or for the making of the jackets of the album. We would pay for all of that, and we would hope to get our money from sales of albums. And I don't think there were very many of those that actually worked out that we made anything worthwhile to talk about. Yeah. So it was just the rental fee of the studio and equipment.
So there was yourself and Neil and some of these studio musicians. Were there any other staff hired?
No, the only other person that we have was a local accountant that did our monthly books and our year-end returns. But everything else was done as far as booking, you know. I mean, we didn't have a secretary. We didn't have an office girl. I did most of that stuff. I saw myself more as a business manager type person, and Neil was certainly equally capable of doing that, but was more into the technical end of the studio, you know.
Claude Sound Productions operated for about 7 years between 1977 and 1984. It quickly became the recording studio of choice for musicians throughout the province. Claude Keynes next speaks of the studio's recording equipment and how it improved over time.
I think whenever we could afford to purchase a new bit of equipment, I mean, that would have been, that's certainly got to be the way right to this day, isn't it? I mean, there's always new stuff coming on the market that you'd like to have this little toy or that little toy. And obviously, we had a long way to go to get to anywhere close to the standards of a mainland-type studio. But, you know, like I said earlier, we went from, you know, 8-track with 8 channels of capability and to 16-track with 16 channels of capability, going from half-inch tape to 1-inch tape, going from probably, I'm thinking, our mastering machine, which was pretty important, as I said earlier, transferring those 16 tracks onto your quarter-inch master, seemed to think that probably our first mastering machine was a little inferior as well. And I think we upgraded. I just don't remember the brand of recorder, but it was certainly much higher end than what we started out with.
We'll hear from Claude Keynes again a little bit later. Right now, we'll listen to one of the most popular songs to come out of Claude Sound Productions. Dick Gardner probably holds the distinction of being the most prolific recording artist on the Key label. Between 1979 and 84, Gardner, who lived in Labrador City, made the trek to Stephenville to record 4 albums. He's best known for his regional mega hit, which has become a modern classic, Labrador Rose. From his 1980 album, Heading Back to Newfie, written and sung by Dick Gardner, produced and engineered by Neil Bishop and Claude Keynes, Labrador Rose on 93.5.
I ventured a walk one early May morning through the dew on the ground as the sunshine did beam. I spied a wild rose grow on there on the mountain, and my heart skipped a beat toward the vision I'd seen. The flower I saw, the face of my darling, its petals her hair and its perfume her smile. The stem of the rose was her body so slender, as it reached out for life from the rich mountain soil. Labrador Rose, you're the rarest of flowers, as you blossom and grow by the cold northern stream. For the rest of my life, I will stay here beside you. Oh, Labrador Rose, you are one living dream. Each morning I walk through the dew and the sunshine, for to be with my flower that grows on the moor. There's nothing around to compare with her beauty. Oh, flower so fair, you'll be mine evermore. Labrador Rose, you're the rarest of flowers, as you blossom and grow by the cold northern stream. For the rest of my life, I will stay here beside you. Oh, Labrador Rose, you are one living dream. Oh, Labrador Rose.
Dick Gardner with Labrador Rose. We now return to Claude Keynes. Claude speaks of the production services which Claude Sound provided to many Newfoundland and Labrador musicians. They were strangers to the recording process. He also fondly remembers recording the first album for the incredibly popular duo, Bud Davidge and Sim Savory, Sim and I.
I have fond memories of the boys being in the recording studio, and
we had
a lot of fun doing the recordings. Yeah,
they got their start out here.
Yeah, original recordings. And you know that was a typical kind of a thing when I was saying earlier about producing these things. I mean, they would have came in, and when they came into the studio, well, they would have had more of an idea where they were going with their music, but there were still only two guys with a guitar and an accordion and a vocal. That was it. So you had to layer other things. A bass guitar had to go in that, and a set of drums, and possible keyboard, and possible a little bit of steel guitar, which Neil had to learn, because there were a lot of these people who wanted steel guitar. A lot of it was country-oriented, Newfoundland country-oriented material, and a lot of required steel guitar, and there was nobody in this area that played steel guitar. So we actually bought a small guitar for Neil as part of the studio equipment, and he struggled through. I can assure you he struggled through, because I struggled through in the control room, having to listen to it over and over again until he got it to a point where it was acceptable, mainly to him. And I did do a fair bit of harmony singing. Like, one I do remember in particular was Sim and I's Saltwater Cowboy,
right.
And I'm doing harmony on that. A lot of that stuff.
Well, that's right. That's a good example of taking a group that weren't well known at all and getting them into the recording studio. In their case, they went on to start regionally, at least.
Yeah, live on to this day.
And they would have sold quite a few albums, actually. You talk about albums. I don't know how many pressings were done.
Yeah, I really don't remember. But but that didn't happen overnight either. I mean, you know, that one album, you know, it's like, it's quite possible that didn't catch on for another number of
years,
and we were probably gone, and they were doing their own pressings then, quite possibly, so they would have a better idea as to how many they actually did press, and then it went from there to digital CD, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that would have happened.
Recorded in 1981 at Claude Sound Productions, another modern classic, Sim and I with Saltwater Cowboys on the Newfound Records Radio Hour.
A newfie's a newfie wherever he goes. It don't seem to matter the cut of his clothes, the gleam in his eyes and the way that he walks, and the true newfie tone in the way that he talks. Oh, by the Lord, dying by the thunder and G, how are you doing, you son? Still just a newbie in a Calgary hat. Now over the years, when things aren't the best, a lot of our fellers head out for the West, but everyone knows that they ain't gonna stay. They'll always come back with those up a long ways. No one suspected we'd ever have oil. The newbies took off for Alberta a while. They traded their rubbers and the warm Worcester caps for rodeo boots and big Calgary hats. Oh, by the Lord, dying by the thunder and G, how are you doing, you son of a bee? You can't fool your old man by dressing like that. You're still just a newbie in a Calgary. Now a saltwater cowboy is new, you'll agree. It seems we've created a new kind of breed. With our hats and our boots and our talk about oil, we even talk newfie in a soft Texas style. Oh, by the Lord, dying by the thunder and G, how are you doing, you son of a bee? You can't fool your old man by dressing like that. You're still just a newbie in a Calgary hat. You're still just a newbie in a Calgary hat.
That's Bud Davidge with Claude Gaines on harmony vocals. Saltwater Cowboys from 1981, recorded on the Key label. Now, when the Ocean Ranger sank on February 15th, 1982, it was drilling an exploration well on the Grand Banks, 267 kilometers east of St. John's. There were 84 crew members on board. They all perished. Bruce Moss, a singer-songwriter from Grand Falls, was moved to express his feelings about the loss. A few days after the tragedy, he had penned Your Last Goodbye, a beautiful, heartfelt eulogy to those lost in the Ocean Ranger tragedy. He sent tapes to radio stations, and soon his song was heard throughout the province, country, and the U.S. as well. Now, some were skeptical of Moss's motives, accusing him of trying to cash in on the tragedy. He recorded the song at Claude Sound, and it still stands as a solemn ballad and a sincere tribute. Here's what Neil Bishop, Claude Kane's business partner, had to say about Moss and the song.
It's a great album. Bruce is a very talented man. He's an excellent songwriter, and he's a great guitar player and singer. In fact, unfortunately, I'm not sure why his The Ocean Ranger song doesn't get as much airplay as it should. That was a brilliant song. But like I say, the Ocean Ranger song that he wrote, I remember he was staying at my house at the time when making the album, when he wrote that song, and I remember, you know, I was blown away by it. It was just great.
Where the seagull soars and the mighty ocean roars, when the wind from the north blows so frantic, on the banks of Newfoundland, the oil rigs stand in search of crude from the cold northwest Atlantic. She's the finest in the land, designed and built by man to withstand all that nature has to offer. And the Ocean Ranger's crew numbered 84 men true to their homes and their sons, wives and daughters. Look away to the west, there's a storm upon the wind, bringing rain, snow, and seas four stories high. Look away to the west, will you see your homes again? Or is this the time to say your last goodbye, your last goodbye? Then there's trouble from within, the rig is listing once again, and the gallant crew are ordered to abandon. But the hurricane's too strong, when the morning comes she's gone, not a soul survived to tell us what had happened, what had happened. Husbands, fathers, sons and brothers leave behind so many others who will not forget the price their loved ones paid. Was it fate that dealt the hand, or the carelessness of man, that led so many to an early grave, early grave? Look away to the west, there's a storm upon the wind, bringing rain, snow and seas four stories high. Look away to the west, will you see your homes again? Or is this the time to say your last goodbye, your last goodbye? May God grant peace and serenity to our brothers lost at sea. Give their families strength to bear their grief and pain. And if our men must sweat and toil in pursuit of offshore oil, pray to God to bring them safely home again, home again. Where the seagull soars and the mighty ocean roars, when the wind from the north blows so frantic, on the banks of Newfoundland, the oil rigs stand in search of crude from the cold northwest Atlantic.
Bruce Moss, Your Last Goodbye. We move on now to one of the province's top rock bands in the late 70s and 80s, 12 Gauge. According to the Newfoundland Herald, the band's professional blend of show, skill, and sound rival the imported bands that they were competing with. Written by band members John Hutton and Bruce Blackwood, released on the Key label in 1980, here are 12 Gauge with I Saw You on the Telephone. From 1980, 12 Gauge, I Saw You on the Telephone on the Key label. Newfound Records continues its history of the Closed Sound Recording Studio with Neil Bishop and Claude Keynes after a short break.
Sing me an old Irish song, bring back the dreams that have gone.
Tune in Sunday afternoons at 1 p.m. for Jig's Dinner with your host Roland Skinner on CHMR 93.5
FM. This is CHMR 93.5 FM in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Some like it hot, some like it on the rocks. Me, I like it fair. Fair trade coffee means that farmers improve their living conditions while respecting the environment, and it tastes really good. For a decent cup of coffee, look for the transfer logo. It's your guarantee that the coffee growers were paid a fair price and that the environment is protected. For more information, call 514 522 2000 or 1 888 663-3247. This message has been brought to you by Équiterre with the support of the Canadian International Development Agency.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. The show is produced and recorded at the CHMR Studios, Memorial University in St. John's, Newfoundland. Every week, we spin the music of Newfoundland and Labrador from our forgotten recording artists of the pre-digital 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Today, part two of the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studios. Newfound Records is very pleased that in addition to being heard on CHMR, we're now also heard on two radio stations in Newfoundland, Voice of Bon Bay Radio, Community Radio in the heart of Gros Morne, and Radio Belle Island, Community Radio from the Belle of the Bay. And we're also heard on the East Coast KitchenParty.net. You can follow the Newfound Records Radio Hour on our companion website. The address for that is newfoundrecords.ca. Listen to the most recent radio program there whenever you want to. And we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter. Our handle there is at Newfound Records. Send me email. The address is wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. Today's episode of the Newfound Records Radio Hour is a repeat broadcast. We now return to the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio. Well, all things must pass, and after about 7 years of outstanding service to the recording artists of Newfoundland and Labrador, Claude Sound Productions closed its doors. I asked Neil Bishop, a co-founder and co-owner, what led to the studio's demise.
I'm not sure if it made it to 85. I know 83 or 84 for sure. I can't remember when we actually finally shut it down, because you know, there were studios available at other locations, not so much in the province, but people like Wonderful Grand Band, when they did their second album, came over to Halifax, and it was a differently produced album in a bigger studio with excellent production values. And the people that had money or had an opportunity to record in these places, of course, went abroad. And Claude and I were handling most of the arrangements and most of the music. You know, we had a small in-house group. Teddy McNeil was a drummer for the most part. So it was a very tedious process. We'd have people come in and Claude and I would lay down the basic tracks, and then after that we'd flesh them out with different people coming in and stuff. So we didn't really have a full-sized in-house band that we could come in and just sort of lay out the charts, get it done, get it mixed, and have done with it. Most of the recordings took quite a bit of time to finish them off, and it became tedious, and it was time-consuming, and not a lot of money in it, unfortunately. So, because we're trying to pay ourselves salary and keep the place running, and we came to a point at one time where we thought we'd shut it down, and we had an offer from somebody to buy most of the equipment, but we reneged. I'm not sure why we did. We decided we had a couple of projects that we could do, so we hung on for a while longer, but I'm pretty sure it's about 84. I'm not sure if we made it to 85 or not. We're retired. We gave it a good run, but there's just became not profitable and very, very difficult to sort of maintain it. And we had some equipment problems. We had to send some of our equipment away, and we were down for a couple of months at one time. We had to send our main recorder out to Montreal somewhere to get it fixed. And so it was just, like you say, yeah, it just had pretty much run its course.
And now here's what Claude Keynes had to say about the decision to close Claude Sound.
It wasn't very lucrative. I mean, we were living in a small town. We didn't have great expenses. We had other income because we still played with groups that we, a TNT band and stuff. So we had some other income other than the studio. After 4 or 5 years, I felt at the time that if it was going to do anything really significant, that it should be uprooted and moved to St. John's, simply because of the population numbers. And you would certainly do a lot more in St. John's than we could do, because, I mean, even as good as the studio was for its time, it was still very prohibitive for people to put themselves in a car or a van with equipment and drive all the way to Stephenville, pay for the recording time, the musicians that they had to hire to back them up, and had their record pressed, and then they had to have a place to stay while they were here doing that. So it was pretty expensive. Yeah, well, anyway, like I say, it had run its course. I mean, it got to a point where it was just, you're flogging a dead horse, the old saying goes. Mm-hmm. And the decision had to be made to wind it down, you know, and close the doors.
We'll hear from Claude Keynes again later. But first, a few more of the great recordings that were made at Claude Sound Productions. When I asked Claude and Neil Bishop if there were any records that came out of Claude Sound that they were particularly fond of, they both quickly pointed to an album by St. John's bluesman Scott Gowdy. The album was called Renata, and from it we'll now hear Gowdy sing the Peter Narvaez composition, Mean and Dirty, featuring Narvaez on rhythm guitar and harmonica.
There was a time, it was so long ago, you watered my wine, and I stepped on your dog. It was mean and dirty, low down and ugly too. I'd call you in the morning, you'd call me late at night. Oh, we just kept pretending, babe, that things was all right. It was mean and dirty, low down and ugly too. Just a ticket, babe. It was put up for fun. It was mean and dirty, low down and ugly too. I put on the blinkers, you put on your shades. Oh, we put on each other, babe. Oh, the fools that we made. It was mean and dirty, low down and ugly too.
Scott Gowdy from his album Renata, recorded at the Claude Sound Recording Studio. Now, Herman Wheeler and the Country Gentlemen is a band that formed in 1979, and they played for years throughout the Bay St. George area of western Newfoundland. Their home base was the Piccadilly Lounge on the Port-au-Port Peninsula. When the Claude Sound Studio opened on their doorstep in Stephenville, Herman and the boys had a great opportunity to make a recording, an opportunity that they probably would not have had otherwise. We now hear one of the singles that they recorded on the Key label. They recorded two of them. From this one from the early 80s, Charlie's Angel. You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour.
Charlie's somewhere in the bar, and this time he's gone too far. She loves him still, she's giving up the fight. While he's spreading on the charm with a new love on his arm, I'll be helping Angel make it through the night. And I'm holding Charlie's Angel tonight. I'm heaven while I'm holding her tight. Charlie acted so unwise, walking out on paradise. And I'm holding Charlie's angel tonight. Charlie thinks this game is cool, but
but he's the picture of a fool, giving up what most men dream of all their lives, and to wake up but much too late to find these angels couldn't wait. And I'm holding Charlie's angel tonight, and I'm holding Charlie's angel tonight. I'm in heaven while I'm holding her tight. Charlie acted so unwise, walking out on paradise, and I'm holding Charlie's angel tonight. Yes, I'm holding Charlie's angel tonight.
Herman Wheeler and the Country Gentleman. Shirley Montagu had a distinguished career as a singer-songwriter in Newfoundland and Labrador. She recorded her first album at Claude Sound as the studio was winding down in 1983. From Shirley's hard-to-find LP, For the Sake of a Song, here's a number she co-wrote with her husband Terry Delaney, Dark Rain.
Riding down a lonely road, not knowing where I'm going, dark rain.
Great stuff there from Shirley Montagu, a top-notch singer-songwriter from Labrador. And now here's another one, another top-notch singer-songwriter based in Labrador. He got his first taste of recording in Stephenville. I'm talking about Harry Martin. He's one of my personal favorites as well. And we'll now hear Harry with his own composition, Raven Here on 93.5.
Raven hair, cool dark eyes, you looked at me, I came alive, when you came on with that smile, I was in heaven for a while. The world was ours, the night so young, don't ever end, go on and on, just when I'm so high, your eyes are saying goodbye. Oh, what a night for dreaming. We've got the the stars on our side. It's just too good to believe in. I couldn't leave if I tried. Don't say a word, don't break the spell. Let's go and find a wishing well. I will make your dreams come true. Just tell me what I gotta do. Oh, what a night for dreaming. We've got the stars on our side. It's just too good to believe in. I couldn't leave if I tried. Raven hair, dark eye, you looked at me, I came alive, when you came on with that smile, I was in heaven for a while.
One of my favorite recording artists from Newfoundland and Labrador, Harry Martin, Raven Hair, recorded in Stephenville at Claude Sound Productions in 1981. Now, Claude Kanes and Neil Bishop gave dozens of Newfoundland and Labrador musicians an opportunity to make a record in Stephenville. Some of these records were by established artists, and many have endured as modern classics. But quite a few of them were one and only records for amateur artists who simply wanted a chance to make a recording for posterity. Now, all of these records, regardless of variations in quality, were precious. In fact, the Newfound Records Radio Hour spins a record or two from that little Stephenville studio almost on every show. Any Newfoundlander and Labradorian who appreciates our music of yesteryear should be grateful to Claude and Neil for their huge contribution to preserving the music of our pioneer singers, songwriters, and performers. We'll now hear Claude Kanes as he reflects on his years at Claude Sound.
But looking back on it now, those 5 years of your life, was it a positive time, do you think? Was it
well, you know, for me, in my lifetime, as leaving high school to go on the road with a rock and roll band was certainly, you know, an important time in my life. And so from 66 till 76, those 10 years were important to me. Then the 5 or 6 years in the recording studio, and then after that, I still sort of stayed in the music scene, too, because I got involved in the nightclub business. But those 5 years are, of all those years, are the most important and the most gratifying for me. My name is on it, you know. Yeah. It's there to see in black and white, and you know, and I feel that we were able to do a lot of good things for good musicians and some not so good musicians, and
be very satisfying, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and to be able to flick on the radio every once in a while and hear some of the old tunes. Yes. and to listen to your playing and your backup singing and so on and so forth. It's very gratifying. I mean, I'm sure we all kind of like to look back and say, well, when I'm ready to leave this earth, do I have any sense of satisfaction in what I've done over the years that I've been here? And Claude Sound certainly fills that, you know, that for me.
We now go out with a bang, courtesy of Kevin Beanland, recorded on the Key label in 1981. We're listening to Father O'Flynn and the Irish Washerwoman. You've been listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. The show was recorded at CHMR Studios, Memorial University in St. John's. It was researched, produced, and hosted by me, Wayne Tucker. Great big thank yous go to Claude Kanes and Anil Bishop for helping me put this program together. I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to send me an email. The address is wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for some special Christmas music. Until then, as always, be kind to Mother Earth and her children. Bye-bye.